reconvene into open session. Could I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
I second.
And then roll call vote. Jeff?
Aye.
Sharon?
Aye.
Carol?
Aye.
Matthew?
Aye.
So, back into open session. Next item on the agenda, petition from property owner at 2911 Libel Street requesting a 33.5-foot variance in the height regulation to add a fiberglass church steeple on the church sanctuary roof at 2911 Libel Street against a village ordinance 11.07B in an A resident district. No principal building shall be hereafter erected or structurally altered to exceed 35 feet or 2.5 stories in height. We have before us a petition, and I apologize if I don't do the name properly, from David McInnich.
McInnich.
Apologize. Would you care to address the board and
yes.
explain the petition to us? Yes, please.
All right.
My name is Dave McInnich. I'm the building task force chair for Ascension Lutheran Church. As you saw in the petition, 2911 Libel Street. I am a resident of Green Bay, not of Alloway. Per the appeal petition, we are requesting approval to put up a fiberglass steeple on our sanctuary building addition that exceeds the 35-foot height zoning restriction. And I've got a couple items here I think you need to know. It should be noted that the addition of a steeple was planned as part of the original building design, and its location is clearly marked on the building plans that were approved during the site plan review with the village. The steeple was intended to be done separately after completion of the main building, since it was funded as a special owner project. It should also be noted that the reference to the religious land use federal law was intended only as ancillary information that may be pertinent to our approval request, with the primary focus being the variance to the height restriction. We therefore ask for your approval of our request to exceed zoning height restriction that would allow us to complete our sanctuary building addition by adding a fiberglass steeple. Thank you. And I guess I'm going to, at this point, do you have technical questions on the package that you were that was submitted? I would be willing to answer those, or we can, Stuart, our council president, is going to address you also, or you can wait till he's done, whatever you'd like to do.
Does anyone have questions about
I just want to ask you one question.
Sure,
as a clarification of what you said.
Yes.
You said something about the steeple being part of the original structure when the plans were...
That is correct.
And when are, what time frame are we talking about here?
And I think the plan review was done in 2011. Construction was done... it was done early in 2011. Or the fall of 2010, and we specifically instructed our structural engineer to make the proper adjustments in the structure for a steeple, and it's marked on the plan where it should go, the weight, height restrictions, the size of the base, everything was pre-planned at that point where it should go and be placed. And then that plan, original plan, went through the site plan review. That's why I want to make that point. It has been visually looked at already. It's on two different documents in that plan packet.
So you're saying that went through some prior review within the village?
With the village. There was the site plan review process with the village, with any building, as you know, gets reviewed for the various aspects. There's a stormwater drainage plan. There's various parts to that. It's a complete package for the property, so we abide by all zoning laws, and that's why I make a point. You know, this isn't something we're jumping through to avoid something. We had a complete inspection by your inspector at the end, and we did comply with every zoning requirement that we could see was applicable to the building.
And you're saying that when those improvements were made, whenever that was, 2010 or 11, that...
Well, that's the original capital building plans that were submitted to the village.
Okay. Were there some improvements made at that time as a part of this?
No, it just shows on the plans where it should go.
Okay.
If I'd done this over, we could have had the steeple identified in that original site plan review, and that's when you would see a variance at that time. but we didn't. It was specially funded later, so we couldn't say in my budget I had dollars set aside to put a steeple up, although we have a location for it.
But you're not saying that there was already some construction or improvement that was
right.
Designed.
There was construction done with the structure itself in the plans put up now, and it was in part of those plans to accommodate this steeple.
So you've made some improvements specifically to accommodate the steeple.
As part of the original design, it was not added improvements once the building was done. That's my point. It was not done after the fact. It was done as part of the original design.
And when was it?
The design was finished in 2010 and constructed through most of the year of 2011.
Thank you.
So it was reviewed with the village that there was a potential for the steeple?
Yes.
Okay, and there were no objections raised at that time?
No, none objections raised at that time.
Was the height of the steeple on that plan? Or was it just the interior structure support
system? What it did,
system?
It gave a weight limit. It gave a height maximum it could be on the top of the roof. And it gave a width at the base, the maximum it could allow. And then it gave an area where it can be placed structurally to support the weight. But it is identified clearly in the footnotes. This is the location for the future steeple. Here's the requirements it must have, you know, when it's purchased or in place there. Any other?
I have I don't know if you want to address this now, but what is the life expectancy of a fiberglass steeple?
No, I can address that. I should reference, I'm a mechanical engineer, and I'm a project engineer too. So the reason we specifically chose a fiberglass steeple is it's very low maintenance. It has not an infinite life, but it's like a fiberglass boat if it's properly gel-proofed and everything. We don't expect to replace it in, 40, 50 years, if that. The main concern is structural integrity and attachment to the building, which we've already reviewed with our structural engineer. We've had all that, and that's why I said the building is prepared for it, and then the connection is also done by a PE registered structural engineer, and then there's lightning protection through the steeple to the ground. That's the other concern, is that it's the highest point on the building. Of course, it would attract during a thunderstorm lightning, and we want to make sure that's completely grounded safely to a normal ground for the building. So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's why we chose fiberglass rather than, say, a wood or some other type of material. It's the longest life we could get of any type. And most steeples now are made of fiberglass instead of wood. You don't have to paint, don't have to do very little upkeep. Anyone else? I can answer later if something comes to mind. Mm-hmm. Our council president is going to speak now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Stuart Korsavin. I serve as the council president for the Ascension Lutheran Church. I'm a resident of Alloway. I reside at 3732 Libel Street. The opening phrase of a beloved 19th century hymn begins, "Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim." As Christians, we do this as we worship and in our religious education. We do this as we serve and minister to those in need. And we do this in our building with a steeple. Some historians trace the church spire back to the 12th century. Steeples on American churches are said to have been inspired by the great English architect Christopher Wren in the 17th century. The more than 300-year association between steeples and churches have become part of an architectural vocabulary that is widely understood and widely shared. The steeple is a symbol of the divine. It lifts our eyes from everyday preoccupations to the heavens, and to consider that which is transcendent. A steeple is a reminder to the faithful. It marks a place of worship and calls the faithful to gather to worship. A steeple is an invitation to the community. It marks a place of sanctuary where all can find care and compassion. The steeple for us is an expression of our religious identity and our religious belief. We ask you to approve our appeal of the zoning height restriction and to permit the congregation to add a steeple to our new church building. Thank you. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to address the board on this matter?
Hi, my name is Lou Baroni. I'm a retired architect.
Your name is Lou?
Lou Baroni. I spent 40 years in private practice, and I retired 7 years ago. I spent 14 years on the Planning Commission, and I was on the Planning Commission at the time the plans were approved for a Ascension Lutheran Church. And I really believe that you people have to have a good look at it and say, it's not a church without a steeple. And I really believe that I would never have designed any church, and we did design a few, and they all had steeples. And I ask that you consider this point as an important point in making your decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to address the board on this matter?
My name is Paul Bonkuber from the 3013 Ridgeview Court. And I think, not really sure what the steeple is going to look like, because he never showed us any drawings, whether it's going to have a bell, any lights, or what it's going to actually be like. I never did either. Obviously,
did you see this?
Have. Is there going to be a bell in there and lights on the outside?
We're going to find out.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And I think the fact that they did not ask for a variance at the time they had the original building permit for the remodeling is not something that should be brought up now as something that they should approve because of this. Not properly done back in 2011. I don't think that should be something that should be relevant today. I think that the fact that it's such a high structure relative to what from a variance standpoint, 33 and a half feet, is almost twice as high as what it can be. I think that that's significantly higher from where we live. It'll be something that'll be very it'll stand out very high from where we live, and it'll be very noticeable. And we would prefer not to have something of that height located there.
How far is your home from the church?
Our backyard is contiguous with it. And the garages that's out there, it's in our backyard. We've got a fence in between. At the time when they did the parking lot, we requested some additional landscaping, and some of it was not put in as we requested on the north side of the garage, which would have been beneficial for us to block some of the car lights shining into our home.
Mm-hmm. Did you say you're on Ridgeview?
Ridgeview Court. See where the garage is? That would be our backyard. The next to our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I'm his wife.
Thank you. I just make sure we know who's speaking.
Also, I'm sorry, I apologize. Our house, when cars come in to their parking lot, especially this time of the year, and they pull in, our house goes back, so they shine right into our home. And I brought this to the attention of Mr. David here. I'm sorry, I can't remember his last name. When they were going around talking about the landscaping, it didn't seem to bother him at all that was going on. And then when I asked for just a specific area where they could do some landscaping, and I guess the reason I'm bringing this up is as we're talking about being good neighbors to each other, and we feel that perhaps they haven't been. There was just a specific area. I said, if you could just put some arborvitaes or something that would, it would give a block for us. No. We were told by David that because Lou Baroni didn't want them there, that we couldn't have them. Now, that had nothing to do with Mr. Baroni's property, but it would have been a tremendous help to us. Since then, we have spent thousands of dollars to have to redo our landscaping to help some of the visual block. Because what we have is their parking lot is so much higher than the property on Ridgeview Court. This is what we deal with. And if there's going to be a bell, we're concerned about that. Also, David told us that there was going to be another garage built next to the garage that is just on the other side of our property. So, you know, we're going to be looking at two garages, a 35-foot steeple. I mean, we're to the point where we feel like we're being overtaken by the church.
I understand.
I've been a business owner in Alloway. I couldn't have a sign. I couldn't go up 35 feet with a sign. It would have been nice as a business to have that sign. As homeowners, we're looking at putting an addition on the side of our house. We were told we couldn't have a foot variance. Fine, we accepted that, and we'll build within the restrictions. So, I mean, I just feel like it's, it seems like 2 years ago when the church was trying to do this, I don't think that they operated in good faith. And they should have known, David should have known, they all should have known, and certainly Mr. Baroni, because he was on the zoning committee, how come there wasn't a letter sent out to us regarding this steeple? People knew, and somebody should have been honest enough to say, we need a variance, and we don't have it.
Okay, well, that's the variance is what we're addressing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you're bringing up the mm-hmm. different things that you're mentioning.
Right.
We'll make sure that, you know, what we want to look at this evening is mm-hmm. the request for the steeple.
I understand
we can't,
that.
We can't control a couple of the things that may have, you know, may have been taking place.
We understand that.
We understand that, but we're just talking about, you know, it just keeps coming at us from the church.
Understand.
And they don't seem to care how we felt when we had concerns. It was all about whether Lou Baroni was happy or not. And, you know, when you start only being, when you feel like you're not being heard or cared about, and there only seems to be one neighbor that gets his way, it's upsetting. And he sat on the zoning committee, and instead of abstaining from voting, he didn't. I mean, there's just been a lot of history here in the last few years, and they should have known. And I guess if this was approved by anybody here in the village of Alloway without a letter going out to all the homeowners, then shame on them, because they knew it. They knew they needed one.
Can you show me where your home is?
In the sure. Center?
Okay, I don't have my glasses on.
What's the street address?
3013 Ridgeview.
We bought right up to there's on the north side of our property.
Okay, right here.
Mm-hmm.
P7.
Can you get this back to you?
Okay, it's this one right here.
Correct.
Okay, so I can see where your backyard joins.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
thank you.
Since my name was brought up two or three times, I just want to say I live at 3000 Ridgeview Court, and I'm the only neighbor that doesn't have a fence abutting their property.
Okay.
And that doesn't bother me one bit. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Dennis Duffy, and I'm appearing for procedural reasons as the attorney for the village. And from what we've looked at, because this seems to be a fact of contention, there has never been any prior approval by any village committee, body, or board for a steeple. And there may have been some suggestion in the plan that the building might eventually support a steeple, but there are no pictures of steeples or steeples that were brought before anybody for prior approval before what you're seeing here tonight. And are you in agreement with that? I don't want to go forward.
Right, no, you're correct. Show a location where it can go and what the restrictions would be if we place one there, but there's no picture of a steeple because we haven't selected it yet.
So there's no secret steeple in anybody's past here, so it's here before us tonight. And then we did meet in closed session for full disclosure to discuss the procedure of handling the steeple in the basis and the context of the federal law. And the federal law puts certain requirements on this body in terms of the unique, and what I'm going to suggest, one of the first things is a prima facie showing by the church that the enforcement of this height restriction imposes a substantial burden on religious operations. And I know you spoke to that, and I'd invite the board to invite anybody else to speak to the substantial burden question, because that's one of the threshold things we have to address before we get into the regular rigmarole of a variance discussion or testimony. So I ask the chairman to invite any further testimony on the substantial burden on religious operations that this height restriction might impose on the church. Let's see what. Get that totally aired out.
Mm-hmm. Before we go there, is there anyone else who hasn't spoken who wishes to speak? Okay. Then, as Dennis said, if any of you gentlemen would like to discuss more about how there is a substantial burden being placed upon the church if the variance is not granted, please do so now.
I guess I would simply reiterate the point that as part of an architectural vocabulary, ways that places of worship, Christian places of worship in the United States are identified, steeples are part of that architectural vocabulary. It's a way of marking a place where it is considered sacred, a place where worship occurs, a place where compassion and care can be found. And we are seeking to use a commonly recognized architectural symbol as a way of marking our identity and marking our mission. If that symbol is denied us, it means that we are less able to communicate a message that's very important to us.
Thank you.
The only other comment I want to make to that, I spoke to Stuart. I did the previous addition for the church prior to doing the sanctuary addition. And we were told by comments from congregants as well as other adjoining people that had seen our building that it did not appear to be a church. It appeared to be a dental office or some other office. So we did not have any identifying features that said this is a church. So what he's speaking to, we've had a common problem in the past of not knowing even where the door is, let alone is this a church. So I guess that's partly why we wanted to address that with this new addition. The other comments by the near neighbor when she said about shrubbery and stuff, I just want to make a pure comment on that. My instruction from the board was to address shrubbery on the adjoining property lines. The line they would like shrubbery on is his property line, and he has to agree to have it there for me to put it there. He took down some trees he had between his property and theirs. I have no jurisdiction on that, but I could only put arborvitae, which we did, put arborvitae to their adjoining property as far as we could as effectively to mask between the garage and their fence.
Okay.
But I had to stop per direction of the board. I interviewed all the neighbors. And what do you want there and how far do you want it to go? So I wanted to say we did not ignore that request. But I can't put things there that I'm not allowed to do.
Understood. Thank you. Do any of the board members have more? Dennis?
Since this since this is kind of a new to all of us and kind of a complicated procedure on this loop issue, now we're at a step where there's going to be some discussion about the village's height restriction, its purpose, and why the village's position that it would be a compelling interest in light of what the church has told us about why they believe it's a substantial burden. And the village administrator is going to briefly discuss the zoning height restriction in the R1 residential zoning classification.
Basically, the church is located in zoned A residential. They are allowed to have their building there and have a church facility there through a conditional use process that they went through many years ago. When they went ahead and did the addition to their building, they again had to go through conditional use permit. And our ordinance right now does state that a building within a residential has a height restriction of 35 feet. And that is where their facility is sitting. The ordinance was put in place, I would imagine, at the time to keep the residential character of the area because it is an e-residential district. There is residential surrounding, at least on the two sides of the church facility, and to keep the character of the neighborhood, I would imagine, was the reason that the restriction was put in at the time. And with them being located in the e-residential, they felt strongly that that height restriction needed to be in place to keep the character of the neighborhood. Any questions on that, anybody? Thank you.
Because we're outside of the normal procedure that we typically follow with an area variance before the Zoning Board of Appeals, at this point, unless there's additional testimony that somebody would like to offer, the Board of Appeals now has to enter into some deliberation as to whether the village interest in having this 35-foot height restriction in the urban zoning outweighs the substantial burden of the church, what they testified to. And then you have to make a determination of whether it does, or if it's equal to, or whether there is a substantial burden here. And the reason I'm interjecting at this point is that if you first of all find that the village's interest, the compelling interest in the village, outweighs their substantial burden, then we would proceed to just the typical testimony on variance and variance standards for an area. If you should decide that they're equal, or that there is a substantial burden here, then you can grant the variance without going into the full variance analysis, because you're saying that the federal RLUIPA law applies. They've demonstrated a substantial burden that this restriction imposes upon them. We're through. So rather than getting into further testimony about, unless you're interested in hearing more about the steeple or whatever, that's kind of where we're at.
Dennis, are you saying it's your opinion that that if the substantial burden on the church's religious operations outweighs the public interest of the village ordinance, that we then do not have to go into the typical factors of unnecessary hardship, unique property limitation, and protection of the public interest?
That'd be my position.
Okay, thank you.
Excuse me, Dennis, what I'm not clear on is it a matter of how do we make that determination? Is it just general discussion amongst ourselves? I didn't think it was any formal. I apologize for that.
It would be a general discussion among yourselves. And of course, the more discussion, the better, the more the reasons for whatever you think based on what you've heard in doing this analysis would be helpful. And then at some point, when you've concluded your discussions, your internal discussions, probably some form of a motion would be appropriate as to what, from, you know, what the consensus is after you hear the debate of all the various reasons that are in your minds based on what you feel is important from what you heard from the testimony. It's kind of tricky stuff, yes.
Yeah, I'd just like to ask some questions of the church people. I'm not sure which of you would be best to answer this, but how long has your church been there?
The congregation was chartered in 1964. I believe it met in borrowed space for the first year or two. I believe the first structure at the north end of the property was probably erected in 1966.
Do you have regular parishioners that you keep track of how many parishioners you have?
Yes.
So I know some churches don't, some do.
Yes, we maintain a parish roll. Membership is approximately 1,050 to 1,100. Average Sunday attendance is between 350 and 400.
Do you have services on Sunday or on other days of the week as well?
During the academic year, Sunday morning services are at 8 and 10:30. Depending on the liturgical season, during Lent, there'll be a Wednesday evening service. In terms of gathering for worship, it's primarily a Sunday morning experience, but there are a variety of religious education fellowship opportunities throughout the week.
On the design of the steeple, or in some of the petition materials, discusses lighting and sound. How do those factor into this design?
The lighting portion, we specifically wanted to make sure that the steeple was visible at different times. And I went through a lighting engineer for that to make sure explicitly that the lumen output and the direction and everything would not be too much for the location or for the steeple itself. The sound is merely speakers that can be placed in the steeple. They can be controlled at whatever level or projection or turned off, for that matter. That was an option. These are options that we can have with the steeple. Steeples typically, like Stuart has said, are a call to worship. So you would have chimes or bells. We're not putting bells in this thing, obviously. A near neighbor to us, Rez, has music they project from a bell tower. So there is not a, there's a reasonable example of that in the near neighborhood. But again, that's very controllable. I think that's something we can manage to whatever effectiveness we need to. But it is an engineered product. I just want to make sure this is not put up where we've got floodlights beaming, you know, an obtrusive type of situation for any of the near neighbors. We do try to be cognizant of that. And it's projecting upward on the steeple itself, not to the ground at all. If you look, there was a previous packet submitted to Tracy that has all the structural calculations. All the lighting and lumen outputs were done by an electrical engineer, lighting engineer. And like I said, the speaker portion is an option, but it is controlled. We have a computer-controlled sound system, and the decibel levels, I think the industrial standard is 85 dBA at the lot lines. We can obviously tune that to whatever level we want. We don't expect to have it as a something that's only playing at a very small amount of time as far as a call to worship in this case. But again, it's an option.
So you're saying the lighting will only project upward?
Correct, correct. These are specifically designed, they're called luminaires. If you look, you might have seen lights on flagpoles or on other appurtenances like that that are illuminated at night. You can do the lumen output as well as the intensity. And again, but that was a design product just for this application. So we don't have something that's misused or too bright in this case for the application.
And the purpose of the speakers, if you have them, is for the limited purpose of chimes or bells.
Chimes or music right before service is my anticipation. I guess I'm not the music director. We could have the ability to have it. We can shut it off at any time, control the decibel output to whatever level we deem necessary on that. I think the variability is the real key, that you don't have bells that make a sound and you can't control them.
Yeah. But you're talking about a noise that is very limited in terms of the time frame.
Correct. It's a call to worship, and I guess, Stuart, you can address that.
So when parishioners arrive, they might hear this in the parking lot, but neighbors would not necessarily hear them.
Mm-hmm. And what? It is controllable. That's my point. It's a controllable function.
And we don't have the lighting design, I don't think.
I have it with me if you'd like to see it.
Just my general question, would you be looking at putting the lights at ground level and sending them 65 feet up in the air?
We talked to the engineer.
Top of the building.
If we did ground level, we have more what's called stray light problems. And she actually addressed that. She said there's a perimeter. She actually identified that the four lights and the direction that they face would be better up on the roof. It'd be the least intrusive to anything around the church. And again, she determined the lumen output levels so that they are appropriate when there's four lights. They're a specific size for that. Again, it's an engineered product. That's what I'm trying to say. It wasn't picked randomly. But again, she said that would be the best way to control that.
The intent is to illuminate all the way to the top of the steeple?
What you do is you actually illuminate the base. You don't illuminate the spire. If you look at the picture, I think in your packet there was an actual picture of the manufacturer's drawing of the steeple.
Yes.
I think the understanding is you actually illuminate the base itself, and the reflectance, it's white, will carry it forward.
And you expect it to reflect up to the top?
Well, again, I'm not an electrical engineer. I'm just saying it's you can adjust it to whatever direction you want, but it's pointed at the steeple.
And
it's pointed upward.
Is it your intent to have these all night, illuminated all night?
The decision hasn't been made on how long they'd be illuminated. It could be a dusk to dawn application, depending upon how we configure it. Or it could be a time sequence. I think right now the lighting in the lot is dusk to dawn. And it's controlled by a lighting system that's computer driven. And all the lighting over the doors and everything are all dusk to dawn.
How does the church's mission change if there is no steeple?
Its mission does not change. Its ability to identify itself and communicate its mission changes.
And I guess the only point I want to make, I'm the building guy. When I was doing the comments I got back on what you see, what's your vision of our building, or what do you see about it, the actual comments I had quoted back on was that it does not look like a church. Looks like an office building, and that was a direct quote. So as we have added on to the building, as such, like you said, from 1966 on, with the various additions, it was still not looking like a church. I'm just saying that's our history, as we weren't identified as a church clearly in many cases. But with people that looked at it or were told to come to the church.
Have you considered other options, let's say putting something at beginning in the ground outside the building? Do I still say what you're saying about identifying the building as a place of worship, but not going outside the 35-foot restriction?
The bell tower certainly is a convention marking places of worship. It is an option. In part, to erect, basically to contract to have manufactured a steeple would be a much lower cost. To erect a masonry bell tower that would meet the village's requirements would be a much more substantial undertaking and would be impose much more much greater financial burden on the congregation.
And I would agree with that. Me as the engineer, yes, that's correct. This was the least cost option to us right now as far as bringing that down, identifying a spiritual piece on the building. And it's purely spiritual. It's not a functional use other than to identify the building as a church.
Have any of the committee members here, are they familiar with this church and the addition that they've done? The addition is lovely. It is clearly in the church. I mean, steeple or not, there's no question about it. When they put their addition on 2 years ago, it's a church. It's you know, anybody we've had in our backyard or anybody we've been in a car with will say, oh, that's a lovely new church that they put up here next to you. I think it's very clear it's a church. It certainly doesn't look like a dentist's office.
Any more questions from the board?
I guess it's kind of a follow-up. So you did look into other ways of identifying your church that did not involve...
We have done a variety of things.
And they were...
There are stained glass windows within the structure, and they are designed to be illumined in the evening so that those who drive by could see them. And obviously, church stained glass has a variety of religious symbols. We, like a number of other churches along Libel Street, put a sign, brick and plastic, that marks this, that names the church. We did not pursue design drawings for a campanile or bell tower. That was not considered as we were doing the design work. Working with our architect, the plan was, given the symmetry of the building and the line, that it would be capped by a steeple. Given the gable that's there and some of the traditional architectural forms, it seemed to call most naturally for a steeple rather than an adjacent bell tower. And so a bell tower, while certainly a possibility, was never designed or costed. The plan was for a steeple.
In an earlier version, there was a spot where a bell tower could go to the north of the existing addition, but we've identified that in our master plan as a future fellowship hall, and not, there would not be room, or we would impede a bell tower being placed there.
Thank you. Well, next step will involve discussion amongst the board members.
Well, I guess I have one more question. I noticed that on some of the other churches, they have a very small spire or cross at the top rather than a steeple. I was wondering how come you did not consider that option.
We considered this steeple, and the architect explained it to me, because of the size of the building, there's a proportionality we try to achieve to make it look reasonable for the building itself. As you know, and I guess we could have gone much, much higher. We did. This height was particular to the size and width of the base in proportion to the length and size of the building. If we would gone to there were many other ones we looked at, and this was chosen by the architect. He gave us five choices, but he said, if you go smaller, it starts to look like a cupola for a barn rather than for a church. You want the narrow hall.
So this was an architectural
decision? Yes. The design itself was chosen by the architect. There's five, and we chose this one as the one that the committee I represented felt would look the best.
And we must also consider the symbolic issues. That is, steeples do stretch towards heaven. And while there are a variety of symbols one can use, a all steeple has symbolic meaning.
Any other questions? Next step is discussion amongst the board members. What we've heard so far.
Can I start?
Yes, please.
Thank you. This is certainly an unusual situation. It's not an issue that I've seen before, even though I've been on this board for a long time. I've also lived in Alloway for a long time. And, in fact, my mother lives in Park Langley, and I've driven past this church many, 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 many times. And I can understand why you would say that people generally in the community and your parishioners feel that this structure that you've been using since 1966 does not look much like a church. That's always been my feeling when I drive past it. It's a little bit hard to understand why a building that's been there since the 60s would now be a steeple, since it hasn't had one since then, and you've got, you know, somewhere in the area of 1,100 parishioners. However, I have heard you say that that your building without a steeple is a substantial burden in terms of your religious operations, and that that you've made a decision that that steeple is an integral part of your religious operations. And my feeling is that you have shown that here tonight, that that is the case. When I then go to look at the zoning ordinance and the height restriction and whether that restriction outweighs your substantial burden, I have a little bit of a problem with that because of the location of your building in relation to the surrounding residential area. I don't know the exact size of your lot, but it's a fairly good sized lot, and there are some homes behind and to the side of your church. But the church itself certainly does not look like a residential structure and is not intended to look like a residential structure and would never be a residential structure. It looks like a dental office or something along those lines, some type of a commercial building. And because of the structure as it exists and its location in relation to the surrounding community, I don't see that the zoning ordinance outweighs your substantial burden. At least that's my feeling. I can understand the complaints of the adjoining property owners, and that's an unfortunate situation that people don't address their neighbors' concerns. But the headlights of the cars that use the parking lot are going to be there regardless of whether or not this steeple is there. And this is going to be a church regardless of whether or not the steeple is there. And as far as any bell noises or chime noises that come from this steeple, those can be there without a steeple. They can do that all they want without a steeple. So my overall impression is that is that any compelling interest on the part of the village does not outweigh the substantial burden in this case to the church.
Carol, do you have anything else to add?
Well, I actually kind of agree with what he's saying.
Okay.
I have some concerns, or I guess I would like to see address some restrictions on the lighting and the sound system's use so that it is not intrusive for the neighborhood.
I think that fully can be addressed. My understanding of the process after tonight there'll be a site plan review. And then this is, there'll be more review of what's on the plans right now, is my understanding. Tracy can address
that. Yes, you're correct. Right?
So, and I, to answer your question, yes, that's all adjustable. And I think for me professionally, to have lighting engineers and other professionals involved ensure that we have a product that can be controlled and made functional to all parties involved, and you know, illuminated at proper times and whatever else we need to do as far as control. I think what the danger is not having it professionally done, and we're not going down that path. Even the structural component is, these are all, you know, PE licensed engineers and professionals.
My concern is the operation of the church itself. I think that maybe not the best way to phrase it, but where you started off in borrowed property, borrowed rooms, my view is that it doesn't matter necessarily what the church looks like. It's the place for people to gather to worship. That's the premise behind it. And things don't change whether or not there is a steeple. If a church burns down, it gets rebuilt, but the services continue. So that's where I don't necessarily see that having a steeple or not having a steeple changes how things are performed.
I guess to answer your question, there was getting towards the steeple before we had the final design for the church. It was identified by the congregation something that was always missing. We had a cross on top of one part of the church, but it was not visible. And I guess there was a three-year process. What's our mission? What is our, you know, will we stay in this location? If we're still here, then what are the needs of the congregation? And there was giving monetarily also to a steeple fund prior to finishing the addition.
Any other comments? I don't know if there's a consensus in terms of whether or not the substantial burden has been met. And whether or not we continue, if it has been met, according to Dennis, correct me if I'm wrong, please, if we've gotten to that point.
I think procedurally I would suggest that Mr. Jacob stated a position that it could be in the form of a motion, and then you could have a vote on it and see where it ends up. And then you can go from there.
Okay.
Yeah, I would move to approve the petition for the reasons I stated.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Then, for the discussion that we've had so far, those in favor of approving the petition, as it stands, vote aye.
Aye.
Nay. And those opposed, nay. Nay. I didn't hear your vote.
Still did.
I'm sorry.
I'll vote aye.
Vote is 3-4 and 1 against. So the motion passes. The petition for the variance is granted.
You're
terrible neighbors.
That's terrible.
Next item on the agenda are announcements. I'm not aware of any announcements for this evening. Okay. Next item would be adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll move to adjourn.
Second. And all those in favor of adjourning? Aye.
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned.